Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Right now, I'm not confident with the results, and I don't think anybody should be confident with these results based on what's happened in the last 3 days.
And that's Republican candidate for Connecticut Governor Tom Foley speaking just moments ago about the latest in the Connecticut vote count. Is this Florida 2000? They were up all night counting votes in Bridgeport. In Bridgeport, they said that Democrat Dan Malloy had garnered enough votes to put him over the top. But is that true? We'll ask Colin McEnroe, political columnist at the Hartford Current and the host of WNPR's Colin McEnroe Show. Colin, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I'd say if we were any more like Florida, we'd have alligators eating our poodles today.
All right, so bring us up to date. A lot has happened this morning. Bridgeport Mayor Bill Finch held a 6 a.m. press conference. Guess he was up all night. What happened?
Well, Finch announced some vote totals, which he appears to have jumped the gun a little bit. I mean, not in a way that, you know, would significantly affect the vote count. But right now, Tom Foley, the Republican candidate for governor, is making kind of a big deal about this. When the actual votes were totally counted, Dan Malloy, the Democrat, had 17,973 votes to 4,099 votes for Tom Foley. That's according to the registrar's office. Finch's count, I think, came a little bit earlier, and some of the numbers hadn't really been double-checked. I think he got excited, as a lot of officials have over the last couple of days. We've had people kind of jumping the gun and giving out unofficial results before they were fully cooked.
Is there any unofficial count at this point?
Well, yes, yes, and no. Certainly the unofficial count. The Secretary of State will make an announcement later today. We think, anyway. I'm really kind of past the point where I say anything with any certainty. And this has become, you know, those baseball games that occasionally go like 22 innings, and you got catchers as relief pitchers, and you know, outfielders playing shortstop because everybody's just exhausted. That's what this election has turned into. Foley was so tired and strung out today. He referred to himself as a candidate for mayor. But later today, we should have some kind of announcement from the Secretary of State's office. It appears right now, based on everything that's in front of us, that Dan Malloy has a lead of about 5,000 votes, which would put him beyond the international boundary waters of an automatic recount.
Which is what, 2,000 votes?
It's 2,000. 2,000, you get a recount. Now, in the press conference that he's giving right now, Tom Foley basically set the stage for seeking a recount, even if there isn't, you know, the automatic trigger for one.
So how can he do that?
Well, in other words, he would have to go to court, and he hasn't said all this. He simply said that we may well have plenty of bases for seeking a recount, even if there isn't the 2,000 vote margin. So he would have to go to court and allege significant irregularities.
Okay, so doesn't sound like Tom Foley is backing down. Let's play a little bit of the audio history of this, which has been quite fascinating. And some of it has happened right on your show. So Connecticut Secretary of State Susan Bizewitz announced that Dan Malloy was the winner based on her unofficial count. And she was on your show as a guest when a very unhappy Republican, Tom Foley, called in. Here's some of that exchange.
I didn't realize you were on the line. Well, I think it's pretty extraordinary that you would announce.
We just said unofficial.
You're announcing a winner, and you don't even have the results.
No, we have the unofficial results. We were very clear about that.
How do you announce a winner with an unofficial result?
We just said they're unofficial.
But you're the Secretary of the State of Connecticut. You're an elected official, and you're announcing a result when you have only unofficial returns?
So,
I feel like Michael Vick or something. You know, I got dogfights going on that I'm sponsoring.
Right. The Secretary of State is a Democrat. So, is there anything to indicate that, you know, she's putting her thumb on the scales here?
Well, there's certainly no indication, even the hint of an indication that in terms of actual numbers or counts or anything like that, that she has done anything wrong. There, I think, is occasion, and there has been occasion, to question her judgment, as Tom Foley does in that clip, about actually making an announcement of what she said were unofficial results. And obviously, sometimes there's an interest in planting in the mind of people the idea that something is over, that there's an outcome when there really isn't. And so people are asking, did it really make sense for her to go before the press and announce numbers, which she herself was saying in that breath, were unofficial? Why do it?
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. I'm speaking with Colin McEnroe of WNPR and the Hartford Current. Listeners, we can take a couple of calls on this from Connecticut. Connecticut listeners, are you willing to be patient to get the right count, or do you want to just declare this over? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You can also post your comment to itsafreecountry.org. Now, Colin McEnroe.
Yeah. Sure. The option that I'm suggesting right now is joint custody, where Dan Malloy would be our governor on weekdays, and Tom Foley would take us weekends and alternating Wednesdays.
Yeah, that'll be effective. let's just back up a second. Why is this so close?
Well, I think it's so close because, like everywhere else, Connecticut had an unusually large number of Republican votes this year. Now, Connecticut is so overwhelmingly top-heavy with Democrats in terms of registration numbers that those votes weren't enough to tip the elections. In other words, in our congressional races, there was just a bigger Republican vote, but not enough to knock anybody out. And there was a bigger Republican vote this time around. We haven't had this close a gubernatorial election in more than 50 years. No matter what the count is, we can say that with some certainty. Maybe in an ordinary year, Tom Foley wouldn't have been as good a good enough candidate to tip over Dan Malloy, but he's a good enough candidate this year to come real close.
And in terms of where they want to take the state of Connecticut, is there a real clear difference in direction?
Well, I mean, first of all, the structural problems in Connecticut are so enormous. The deficit is so huge that, I mean, if you've read Cormac McCarthy's The Road, that's like what it'll be like on Inauguration Day, and then it'll go downhill from there. So there isn't a lot of money to fix
things. And for those who haven't read Cormac McCarthy's The Road, explain what you're talking about.
It's devastation, human cannibalism. You know, it's just not a very pretty picture. And I mean, right now, the government's effectively broke. There isn't really enough money to do anything. Neither Foley nor Malloy have been highly specific about what kind of cuts that they would make. Foley certainly has been at pains not to talk about tax increases. Malloy kind of slid them halfway on the table, basically said he'd have to earn people's trust to earn the right to talk about a tax increase. It's hard to know because they weren't very specific in their debates about exactly what they would do. That's the problem that's got to get solved first. And there isn't a painless or bloodless solution to that problem, no matter what they told us during their debates and commercials.
Now let's talk about what happened in Bridgeport. They ran out of ballots. They just made a last-minute decision to keep the polls open late. How unusual is this?
Really unusual. I don't understand quite why we had this problem, and it wasn't just in Bridgeport. It happened in a few other places, but not at the massive level of Bridgeport. Ballots are expensive. You know, we switched to from the old style lever voting machines to scannable paper ballots, and the ballots actually apparently do cost money. And of course, the towns are all broke right now too, and it's all in the laps of the towns. A lot of us who've covered politics for a long time didn't understand this. That the individual registrars at Connecticut's 169 towns decide how many ballots they think they need. This, in retrospect, seems like not a very good idea. And Bridgeport they have 69,000 voters. They ordered 21,000 ballots. If you want to know whose fault this is, it's kind of Barack Obama's fault because he turned up in Bridgeport on the Sunday before election.
Oh, and cheeky, huh?
Yeah. And he really jazzed people up. I mean, you can talk about the efficacy of this kind of thing in other places. It really worked in Bridgeport. Suddenly it was 2008 again in Bridgeport. And so they did get a much bigger turnout than anybody probably expected. And this was, the model really that the Democrats needed. They needed to have really big days in the cities. And so, and Obama's, there's just no question and no doubt in my mind anyway that Obama's visit to Bridgeport is one of the reasons that Bridgeport didn't have enough ballots 2 days later.
So Dan Malloy, if he's in fact the governor, is going to have a pretty big debt to pay.
He will owe Barack Obama his allegiance. I mean, Obama really was making the visit more for Jim Himes, the congressional candidate in that area, who also pulled through the night. That's who he was really there to help. Bill Clinton did a very specific visit up in Hartford for Dan Malloy on that day. But what really made the difference, and I don't know if anybody could have seen this coming, what really did make the difference, at least in Bridgeport, which seems to have saved the day for Dan Malloy, was that Barack Obama visit.
By the way, we have a clip from election night from both candidates. Here's Foley and then Malloy talking about Bridgeport.
And I'm sure that you've heard that in Bridgeport, the why is it always Bridgeport? The results have been delayed, okay? So we are not actually going to know a certain answer to the outcome of the election. It's quite close. But we are quite confident that we will win.
Based on our look at the numbers, I believe that we will end up doing what all of you wished we would do, and that is have a victory.
So does Foley live to rue that comment? Why is it always Bridgeport?
I don't think that comment really sort of jumped out all that much. And by that time, whatever damage was going to be done was done. I think whatever damage was done to him, it really was. I have to say, I have covered a lot of elections. I have never seen, I know it's happened in other places, I have never seen what did happen on election night, which was that the Democrats went to court and got a judge. In cooperation with the Secretary of State, got a judge to give an order holding open the polls for an extra 2 hours. It was like Macy's at Christmas time. There were two extra hours of shopping. So 10 or 12 of the polls in Bridgeport stayed open for another 2 hours until 10 o'clock.
So they actually used reverse 911 to alert voters.
Yep.
But
yep.
Only 57 people ended up voting?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it really made that big a difference. Really, as we get into this next phase here, where Tom Foley will be at least considering whether to allege that irregularities created a disadvantage for him, I think it's going to be a pretty tough case to make unless he can really claim that some votes were counted that shouldn't have been counted. Because in the places that he's going to talk about irregularities, I mean, one of the things that happened on Election Day was people showed up in Bridgeport, there weren't enough ballots, and people left not having voted. And as you can see from the way the totals turn out, most of the votes in Bridgeport are Democratic votes. It seems as though if there were some kind of horrible conspiracy to rig this election, one of the things you wouldn't do if you were a Democrat was deprive people in Bridgeport of the opportunity to vote.
Okay, and we've got about 15 seconds. Tell us what's going to happen today.
We're going to wait for the Secretary of State to give us official election totals, and then we're going to wait to see what Tom Foley's got the next move. I mean, Dan Malloy has already done the George Costanza and showed up for the job, whether he has it or not.
All right, and they both have transition teams
already
set up. So more to come. We'll have an update Monday. Maybe we'll have a governor of Connecticut by then. We'll see. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. My guest has been Colin McEnroe of WNPR and the Hartford Current. Thanks, Colin. Coming up after the news, the New York Times' David Leonhardt has some options for Congress in dealing with the expiring Bush tax cuts. That and more of your phone calls right after this.